And now, it's sports time. Featuring forecasts, plot synopsis, character studies, explanations, and interviews. Making sports accessible to everyone, from the diehard to the hardly interested. With your host, Ezra Fisher, it's the Dear Sports Fan Podcast. All right, we're here with my friend Jahangir Madan. We're going to ask him a few questions about sports. So thanks for joining us, Django.
Hey, Ezra. How are you doing?
Good. It's funny that I asked you whether you wanted to be Django or Jahangir, and then I immediately said Django, even though you said Jahangir.
Django is also fine.
Yeah, all right. Well,
they're both good.
It's your nickname. So I wanted to ask you a few questions about your relationship to sports. So I'll start out by asking you, like, where are you living now and where did you grow up?
So right now I live in Brooklyn, but I grew up in Bombay, India, which even changed its name now to Mumbai.
Okay. And what are the teams that you root the most for?
Ooh, so the teams I root for, I have to go through to all the sports that I like.
Yeah, so definitely.
I watch the NFL.
Okay.
And I root for the Philadelphia Eagles. That will be answered in another question as to why. Other American sports, not much really. I just stick with the NFL because it takes up 4 months of the year, and that's enough for American sports.
Okay.
I also watch a bunch of cricket. Growing up, my favorite team was Australia, but then it's India since I moved away. It's funny.
That is funny.
With soccer, I don't know, in the World Cup, while growing up, I would just kind of root for the team that was wearing a blue shirt while watching the match because blue was my favorite color. But I would really root with, like, all my heart.
Right.
Or sometimes I would just root for the opposite team of everybody in the room, what they're cheering for. So, but usually I would end up cheering for England. Yeah, you know, closest thing we had to anybody from India being in the World Cup.
Yeah.
And yeah, in Formula One, I guess motorsports, I don't know if people think of it as sport or entertainment, I would root for the Williams team. Funny enough, because they had a blue cigarette sponsor, and the whole car was blue, and I liked Ayrton Senna, so that's how it came about.
Cool. So what attracted you to Australia when you were a kid?
So Australia was one of the best teams at that time in cricket, and of course everybody in my family would cheer for India, and it would just be fun to cheer for the other team. But you can't just half-heartedly cheer. You know, you have those people who just cheer just to piss people off. But then I would really get into it and I would really, really cheer them with like all my heart. And also it was just annoying to be around constant like, oh, India, 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 India all the time, like being in the middle of it, you know.
Right.
So it made me want to cheer for somebody else. And then, of course, you cheer for, you know, the best team out there, which makes it easier.
Right. And so, you would have been thrown out if you had cheered for Pakistan, so India was Australia
Pakistan
was the next bet.
Yeah, no, Pakistan was too much. No way I was cheering for them. Yeah. not back then.
But Australia does sometimes wear blue, don't they?
No, they always wear yellow. They wear this weird yellow color. I don't understand why they wear yellow for everything. Even rugby, they have this weird golden yellow that they wear. But lately, they also wear a dark green. But mostly, their color is yellow for cricket, anyways.
Okay. Well, it's funny. So green, the Eagles also wear green. They don't wear blue. So how did you become an Eagles fan?
Eagles fan. I became a fan of the Eagles for two reasons within like five plays. I never really watched football before. I came to America. It was on TV a couple of times and I was like, whatever. But then one day I was home and it was the playoffs and there was nothing to do in the afternoon. So I turn on the TV and there's this game, the playoff games between the Eagles and the Giants. I think it's the 2000 playoffs. Yeah, it's the end of the 2000 season.
Mm-hmm.
And on the first play, the Eagles kick off, and the Giants take the ball and run it all the way back for a touchdown. Now, I would normally have rooted for the blue team, you know,
yeah, the Giants
wearing blue. I like blue, but, you know, a little older. So I said, you know what, I'm going to cheer for the team that's losing, which was the Eagles. And then they had a black quarterback who was running around, and I had never seen that. I did not know that Randall Cunningham existed. I didn't know about anybody before McNabb who did that.
Right.
So I thought, oh my God, this guy's so cool. I'm going to cheer for him. And then I did cheer for them the whole game, and they lost. But the next season, and I had a friend who lived down near Philadelphia. And the other reason is actually in 2011, I started cheering for them because of September 11th. Because, as funny as it sounds, we wouldn't get the TV signal anymore from New York.
Yeah.
When the World Trade Center fell down, we wouldn't get the New York signal. We would only get the Philadelphia signal.
Yep.
Before, I could watch both games, but now I could only watch the Philadelphia game. So I just became an Eagles fan, and they went on this great run of breaking your heart every year. So it was great.
Yeah, but I think that was around the time they went to four NFC yeah. championship games in a row and never got to the Super Bowl.
Oh, they got to Super Bowl once in 2004.
Did they?
And they lost 21-18 to the Patriots. Yeah.
There you go. What is your earliest sports memory? I assume it might be cricket.
My earliest sports memory is either, let me think, it's the 1990 Football World Cup. Okay. It was the final between Brazil and Italy.
Yep.
And we had this, you know, big TV from back in the day with the, you know, the cathode ray tube TVs. And we took it from our living room and put it in the kitchen because I lived in a house with 10 people. And the kitchen was the only place where nobody would sleep. So me, my dad's brother, and his son, we took the TV. Well, I was too young to carry the TV. I just kind of sat and watched the match. But yeah, we watched this really interesting, engrossing match. Oh, no, sorry, that was 1994. Yeah. Sorry, that was 1994. It was a 94 final, and we watched a 0-0 draw.
Right.
And, I was cheering for Italy because they were wearing blue, and they lost.
Yeah.
But, that's one of my earliest, like, bright memories of cricket.
That's so interesting. Were you living in the United States then or in India?
No, I was living in India. That match was going on at 2 in the morning.
Right.
I think that's why I remember it, because it was so... such an odd time for me to be allowed to be awake, you know?
Right. Yeah. And it's interesting because for me, growing up in the United States, the 94 World Cup, which was in the United States, was this big, you know, I had been playing soccer all my life, pretty much at that point. And it was this big sort of coming out party for soccer in the United States, where so many people who didn't normally pay attention were paying attention. And you were across the world watching on your TV in your kitchen.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
At night in, you know, 240 definition, probably. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's pretty grainy back then.
Yeah. What do you think being an Eagles fan says about you that's different from everyone else?
Well, I mean, especially now that I live in New York, you know, sometimes it's hard to continue remaining an Eagles fan. But I think lifelong, I feel like when you choose a team, you cannot switch. I mean, nobody respects your fandom then, especially yourself. How could I cheer for anybody else?
Right.
But yeah, I always loved the Eagle because of McNabb and Andy Reid because he would throw the ball. They would always be more exciting to watch. But I think what really makes you an Eagles fan is just somehow you just believe that this year you'll win when every statistic says that there's a 0% chance because we've won 0 Super Bowls. We did win in 1960 before the Super Bowl, yes, I know, but that's more than 55 years ago.
Yeah.
So every season when it starts, the chances of winning look pretty small, but there's always this hope. And I remember in my earlier years, I would fully expect to go 19-0. I would really think there's no way we could lose. And there were seasons where we went 13-1 and then, you know, they rested everybody for the last two games, the Terrell Owens season. Well, the season where he was good, not the season where he was crazy. And every year I would really, really believe that we're going to just not lose a game. Of course, we're not going to lose a game. We're the Eagles, and we have Westbrook, and we have McNabb, and we have no receivers. Still, we're going to win, you know? But, yeah, I think after about 6 or 7 years, I started thinking, well, maybe this year we won't win the Super Bowl. So now I'm more mature, and I go in, you know, hoping we get to the playoffs and then understanding that anything can happen, especially over the last about 6 or 7 years when we've seen a lot of six seeds come into the playoffs and actually win it.
How does rooting for the Eagles fit into your weekly routine, or actually just, you know, keeping track of India's cricket team or the Formula One racing?
Well, so basically, during the NFL season, it's all NFL because there is some cricket going on, but basically the cricket I watch is if India is playing a series or if the World Cup is going on, which just ended actually, and Australia won. Yeah. So I wasn't cheering for them this time.
Yeah.
So yeah, during that week, basically, it's I either try to catch the game at a friend's house, or lately I haven't been watching many Eagles games because I've been in New York, and there's a lot nicer things to do on Sunday. But I think what's changed over the last 4 years is, you know, being in fantasy football, it really pulls at you and makes you want to cheer for weird things, which we all know about.
Yep.
So I don't think many people in my league like the Dallas Cowboys. So they're always like good Dallas Cowboys players out there. I've had Des Bryant for a year. I've had Tony Romo for a year. And I always had DeMarco Murray, which sadly for fantasy football is coming back to the Eagles. But I'm happy he's coming back to the Eagles. I can just really root for him now without feeling guilty.
Right.
So yeah, in the week, yeah, it's just kind of waiting for that game. But it's become less intense. I remember in 2004 or 2005, you know, when the Eagles were really good, it was really like, oh my God, you know, this week I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Because sure, once you start losing a lot, it makes it hard to look forward to to the pain that's coming if you're going to lose.
And how about your weekly routine during the off season for the NFL?
Oh, I take away NFL.com from my favorites. I just try and ignore it because it's too much of a wait. I can't. When the draft comes around, I check what's going on. But otherwise, until August, I like make sure it's not. I have this favorites bar on Google when I work, and I just take it off the bar.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to read what's, because there's nothing going on. It's just right, nonsense stories that there's no reason to keep up with it. And that's the best thing about the NFL. You can really, really be into it, and it's only one third of the year.
Who's your all-time favorite player from the Eagles? Is it Donovan McNabb?
Yeah, Donovan McNabb.
What about that's how you got into the Eagles, and so you love him?
Yeah, and he just seemed like a funny, nice guy who was playing, and he always took the blame, which was sometimes was stupid, because Philadelphia fans can be a little crazy. He always took the blame for the loss, even if he played well, and he threw it right into Pinkston's arms, and Pinkston got scared, you know?
Right.
No matter what happened, he would always take the blame. Sometimes it was his fault because he would throw it into the ground. But yeah, I always liked him because he was a leader. And because when he was younger, he did some really amazing things. I think we just forget when we see, you know, somebody like Kaepernick doing these things now. We're like, oh my God, it's never been done before. Although it's been done every 3 years, you know. Right. McNabb did it, Vic did it. You know, we always have people who've done it running the ball and making crazy plays on the run. And when he was in his prime, he was, you know, he was really the best at it. And of course, there's the Cardinals game where he busted his ankle, broke his ankle, and then continued to play and threw 4 touchdowns without moving around at all. And, you know, I had an ankle injury a couple of years ago. I just sprained a ligament. I didn't even break my ankle. And I could not imagine how you could stand and play football with that. That's just ridiculous, the whole concept of that to me. So, yeah.
And who is your all-time football nemesis?
Ooh, oh my God.
Aside from me in fantasy, yeah, of course.
Yeah, no, like somebody I really hated. Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think it changed from season to season, depending on who who fucked the Eagles up that year.
Yeah.
But
what about right now?
Oh, right now. I don't know if I really hate anybody. Fantasy football makes it hard to hate anybody because you can have them on your team next year.
Right.
So I think fantasy football has tempered my love and hate for people in the NFL because I know that they could be on my team next year. So I can't really hate them. And I don't want to love them too much because I know they could be gone. So it's made me a more moderate football watcher. Huh. If anything, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, really scream horrible things at the TV when I was only an Eagles fan. Horrible, horrible things. None of them, of course, are true. Of course, the referee has not been paid off. Of course, the referee really saw it correctly, and I'm just biased completely. So I think there was a penalty when there wasn't. But now I'm more moderate because of the fantasy football, if anybody can believe that.
Yeah. How do sports play into your social life with your friends or your family or, you know, your dating life?
Oh, with my dating life, it's mostly me watching sports while my girlfriend just lies in my arm and goes to sleep. She enjoys it and I enjoy it. I'm just watching sports and she's sleeping. With my friends, join the NFL, yeah, I like to hang out, get a drink, and just watch some games, sometimes four or five at a time, which is too much. I think you can only really focus on two or three games. But yeah, it's a nice social thing. I think that's what I like sports because it was my, I just remember sitting in my house with my uncle and my brother and my cousins all sitting and watching a game very intently. It's something you do together and it's fun to cheer for something or cheer against something. It's, you know, it's really great. Especially when you win, when you're not expected to.
And what's the most important thing you'd like non-sports fans to understand about sports or about sports fans?
Ooh, I think the most important thing would be that I think most of us realize that, you know, it's just sports and when it ends, it's okay. But that doesn't mean that when you're cheering, you don't cheer with all your heart. Because the real ecstasy you only get when you really want somebody to win and you don't expect them to win and somehow they make it. And there's few things in life that are that good.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Django.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Thanks for listening. For more great sports stories, subscribe to our podcast or all of Dear Sports Fan's content on DearSportsFan.com. Have a great day.